16 degrees here, and there might just be a chance of an isolated shower developing over the high ground through the afternoon. For Northern Ireland, after a chilly start in places with clear skies, the day will be bright again with a good deal of sunshine around, perhaps the chance of an isolated shower, but most places will be dry with highs of 18 or 19 Celsius. For Thursday and Friday, lots of sunshine, staying warm with highs of 21 or 22 degrees.
Many thanks, Stav. Now on BBC Radio 4, our Book of the Week continues with Damien Barr reading from his memoir, Maggie and Me, about his childhood in working-class Scotland in the 1980s. With his mother in hospital after a sudden illness, 10-year-old Damien's already difficult relationship with his stepfather escalates further.
Every morning our neighbour, Big Brenda, gets me and Teenie ready for school. She's Irish and prays under her breath for us to make her mother proud. We're still not allowed to go and see her at the hospital. She needs a rest, we're told. Me and Teenie beg and plead, but have to settle for making yet another get well card, careful to make it clear that we're okay. I don't want to upset my mum with the truth, especially now she's not well. My dad thinks it's normal for boys to have bruises, so he doesn't notice what's going on either. Logan says, nobody will believe me anyway. Logan gets to go and see her, but he doesn't take her card. Mark Ellison changes my life at the end of Primary 5. He joins Keir Hardie Memorial Primary School just before the summer holidays. His Jason Donovan haircut, neat and new. There's usually a space next to me, so that's where he sits. My report card states, Damien has met his match this school year. After 5 minutes, we find out we're the same age, nearly to the day. Our parents went to school together, leaving as soon as they were 16, then marrying and splitting at about the same time. Dads don't get custody, so Mark went to stay down south with his mum and her fancy man, but she sent him back. Her loss, he says, flicking his fringe out his eyes with a jerk of his head. My gain. From day one, everybody loves Mark. Boys want him on their team, and girls want to comb his blonde curtains. Nobody gets why he's my pal. Not even me. He's clever and pretty and cheeky, and the teachers love him too. He dazzles with his front crawl when we start swimming lessons at the council pool. Only Mark dares to dive from the high board 12 feet up. He is without fear. It's like he doesn't care. Craig under threat, screams the Daily Record. The Motherwell Times mounts a campaign to save the Craig. It's all my dad can talk about. They all blame Maggie, like she's personally going to come and flick a great big switch to off. I don't think she will. I don't think she's as bad as they all say. If it did close, I wouldn't have to worry about my dad anymore. A boy at school told me his uncle pulled a man with no legs left out the furnace, and he kept burning away, even in the hospital, till there was nothing left to bury but his screaming mouth. Better to be pushed under. The Ravenscraig Steelworks borders the whole south side of Kerfin. In the first week of the holidays, me and Mark find a gap in the chain link fence and slip through the wire. Thousands of men work here, but there are plenty of places to hide. In a cosy shed, we share a can of iron brew that Mark stole from his dad's and imagine it makes us stronger, even though we know it's not really made from girders. Somehow Mark's managed to smuggle new horror books out the library. Our junior green cards don't permit Stephen King, James Herbert or Dean Koontz, but here they all are. I'd never dare, but Mark would. We take turns reading out loud. Pennywise the Clown boils our blood for candy floss. Red-eyed rats swarm round our feet, their filthy fur tickling our ankles. We hang upside down from a beam and pretend to be vampires from Salem's Lot. Mark kiss bites my neck, then we run about screaming. No one can hear us. It's nearly 7. We were supposed to be back an hour ago. Mark runs home, and I miss him already. I trail round to my front door, and down one side of the steps there's a smooth, curvy handrail that wasn't there this morning. There are voices behind the living room door, but it's not the telly. It sounds like I open the door, and it is. It's my mum. She doesn't get up, doesn't get a chance. I fly to her, and Auntie Louisa is saying, "Careful, son, watch your mum, mind, come on." My mum lifts the fag she's smoking so it doesn't burn me. My arms velcro round her neck, and I'm crying, and her eyes are bluer, and her face looks saggy, and she's looking at me like I looked at the handrail outside, like I'm new. Overnight, the house changes. My mum is back. She's not the same, but that's okay. She's wobbly on her feet and sometimes uses a stick. She forgets the name of things, like the kettle, and I have to dial phone numbers for her, then remind her who she's talking to. But we've all got to be patient and careful and help her as much as we can. The first day of primary six, she manages to walk us all the way to the gates at Caer Hardy. Me and Teenie grab a hand each in case she disappears. Every day, we rush home expecting her to be gone again, but there she is. The first term of primary six flies by and nothing bad happens. The calendar from the Chinese takeaway that hangs by the phone finally shows Christmas Eve. Me and Teenie are up to high dough, but we've got to go to bed now or Santa won't come. I know fine well Santa has nothing to do with it, but Teenie doesn't, so I play along. I'm away to Glasgow to help Mr. Claus, my mum explains. He's got some big parcels to deliver, but it'll not come if he's bad. Will Big Brenda look after us while you're out, I ask. Och no, she says. Logan's here. I force my face to stay the same until she shut the front door. Then I run upstairs to my bedroom and my books. I must have fallen asleep reading with the light on because I wake up when it snaps off. Who's there? I ask the room. Silence. Who's there? My voice goes. I know who's there. Who's there? Echoes back, a twisted, mewling, girly me. I pull the covers up over my head, but they're ripped straight off. I screw my eyes closed. My mum, I start, but he belts me across the face with the back of his hand. Your mum nothing. She's no here. What for? I ask. What have I done? Nothing, he says, and belts me again. Shut it. He clamps one hand over my mouth. With the other hand, he pinches my left ear and pulls harder and harder, and it's agony, so I kick at him. And as I do, the lobe comes away from my head, and there's warm, wet relief as blood runs down my neck. He drops me on the bed and leaves a bloody hand on my pillow, and all I can think is, these sheets are fresh for Christmas. He's silhouetted in a flash of light as he opens my bedroom door. Get it clean, or no Santa Claus for you. I touch my hand to my ear and feel a draft in a strange place, but it's still there and crusting already. I fall back and everything goes black. When my eyes snap open again, it's night. Damie, it's your mum. I pretend to be asleep. She's got to go away. She can't see this. I've lied and lied to her and everybody else about Logan, told them all the stories they wanted to hear. She shakes me gently. Damie, guess what Mr. Claus has brought, she whispers, and clicks on the lamp to show me the Millennium Falcon I begged for. At light speed, she knows everything. She leans over and gasps and ohs and touches my sticky, scabbing ear. She sees the bloody handprint on my pillow. That's it. No shouting, no screaming, no nothing. She leaves my room, and seconds later, there is the sleep-shattering smash of the full-length mirror. Get your coats and shoes on, says my mum calmly. We're leaving. Nearby Forgewood is always in the Daily Record. It's Europe's biggest housing estate, noted for stabbings, chip pan fires, and gangs. It's a war zone. People call it Beirut. Even the police are scared of Forgy. We've nowhere else to go, my mum says. It's snowing. We've been walking for 20 minutes when a taxi finally stops, and when my mum says, Forgewood, the driver hesitates. I do too. The whole block is in darkness when our taxi stops outside. The driver doesn't wait for us to be let in. What the hell? Shouts a man's voice through the intercom by way of hello. Joe, it's me, Lynn, my mother snaps at her younger brother. We're buzzed straight up and Auntie Cat appears, belting up a pink terry toweling housecoat and looking confused. Uncle Joe stands square, bare-chested in a pair of green gola shell suit bottoms, ready for a fight. What the hell? He points at me, at my bloody ear. Joe, the laddie's had enough. So for now we live in a flat in Forgey with my Uncle Joe, my Auntie Cat and younger cousins Sean, Aidan and Trisha. I'm 10 and Teenie is 5. It's only till the council gives us a house, promises my mum. Joe doesn't seem to work, but he's always doing something. Everybody calls him the big man. In the queue for benefits at the post office, everybody waves him to the front. On you go, big man. If you mess with one McManus, Uncle Sean, Uncle Brendan, Uncle Thomas, Auntie Louisa, or my mum, or any of my million cousins, you'll have to answer to the big man. It's party central here every Friday night when the furniture is pushed to the wall and everybody sings to Daniel O'Donnell or some other pirate tape. I hear more and more about a man called Dodger. Dodger likes a drink, they all do, but this one really does. He drinks till he bounces from foot to foot like a bandy lizard on hot sand. My mum dances with him and he makes her laugh. He's a good drunk, a happy drunk, till he's too drunk. Then he spews and cries and conks out. Or he gets fighty. Dodger's not a bad man, not really. He's just badly behaved. That's what they say. My mum didn't drink till we had to move here. At first I thought it was her tablets making her stagger and slur. I beg her not to join in with them, but she ignores me. Oh, come on, Lynn, says Auntie Cat. Let your hair down. So my mum starts off with a wee diamond white. One of those abandoned Fridays when everybody's at a party across the road and all the Waynes are in bed, I turn the telly on. I read Salem's Lot with my best pal Mark, and now the film is coming on and I know he's watching it too, so I know I'm not alone, even though he's 5 miles away in Newark Hill. I watch as the picket fence town is slowly taken over by vampires that nobody wants to believe are real. By the end, I'm so scared I can't even turn round, so I crawl into bed with my eyes closed until they all come rolling back and Auntie Cat is shushing, but I can't hear my mum. Where is she? Somehow, I know the answer. Dodger's face floats into my mind. Six months later, it's summer, and my mum gets the letter from the council. She reads it slowly, moving her lips, and I resist the urge to read it faster first. We're top of the list, she shouts, top of the housing list for a three-bedroom semi in the coal scheme in Newark Hill with a front and back door. Enough room for us all, eh? Says Joe, but it's not really a question. Carefully, my mum folds the letter back in its envelope. Plenty, Joe, plenty. So the next week, we all leave Forgey. Uncle Joe, Sean, Trisha, Aidan, my mum, Teenie, and me. And Dodger. My mum says he makes her happy.
Damien Barr was reading from his memoir Maggie and Me. It was abridged by Sean Preece and produced by Allegra McElroy. Now, as you can hear fading up in the background, the sounds of sailing by, which heralds the shipping forecast on the horizon in just a minute and a half. And now, with the time at 12 minutes to 1, the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 today, Wednesday the 5th of June. The general synopsis at 1800, low southern Norway, 1020, expected south at Sira, 1018 by 1800 today. New high expected west Humber, 1023 by the same time. The area forecasts for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sira, northerly 5 to 7, becoming cyclonic 3 or 4. Showers good, occasionally moderate. South at Sira, northwesterly 4 or 5, occasionally 6 at first, becoming cyclonic 3 or 4. Thundery showers good, occasionally moderate. 40s, northwesterly 4 or 5, occasionally 6 at first in northeast. Showers